سيدنا محمد وسلمت سيدنا محمد وسلمت سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا. لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وأز جنده وأهزم الأحزاب وحده. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وعلى أنصار سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا محمد وعلى ذريات سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا. لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وأز جنده وأهزم الأحزاب وحده. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وعلى أنصار سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا محمد وعلى ذريات سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا. لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وعز جنده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وعلى أنصار سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا محمد وعلى ذريات سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. لست تموع. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا. لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وأز جنده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وعلى أنصار سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا محمد وعلى ذريات سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين. So just some preliminary direction, instruction on how we proceed from here. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for being alive today at this time and at this event. Now this, my, the range from the, whatever the base is, has a tendency to go in and out. I'm trying to keep it high for it, but it is what it is. The Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay, yeah, maybe we can do this. My head. Maybe we can switch up with using and use this one. Then we don't have range issues on this one, right? Will we have range issues with this one or no? No, okay, well, that's enough. Sensitivity issues, huh? So who is that? Mine is off. This one is off. Let, can I have him do this? We got our eyes on you, bro. So we got it. Oh, this okay. This goes to the. Okay. So then, even when they're not hearing me here, when it goes out like this. Okay, so everybody's ready to be patient with all this, right? Because that's what's happening. It is what it is. Okay, we're good. All right, I'm putting my pocket right here. All right, so now all I got to do is just be a window store mannequin and everything should be okay. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. I have to tune our young people up, so make sure they have some sense of what's going on. All the fun's going to happen soon. But they're going to have to be able to not be a distraction while they're there. But I'm going to go ahead with that. I'm going to leave that to Abdul and community service, et cetera, and the mothers who are here. It won't be long. But this is housekeeping. This is housekeeping. So the way that the khutbah, the Eid prayer overall in total, goes, we have the prayer before, and then after that we have the khutbah. The khutbah is a sunnah. It's like you can stay, listen, or not, but you won't be able to have conversation in the course of it. You have a space on the inside, so you can go inside as well. The prayer is comprised of two sections. It's literally just like Jummah reversed. We'll have the two sections of prayer. Each section of prayer is preceded by an extra number of takbirs. There are different schools of thought on how many takbirs go in the first and how many takbirs go in the second and how many takbirs are said before the recitation, how many takbirs are said after the recitation. That's madhab issues. The way we do it is there's five in the first, five extra. We start the regular takbir, Allahu Akbar, and then you do five. One, two, three, four, five, and then the recitation. In the second, you come up. There's one that brings you up, but then there's going to be seven in addition. So when you start standing, then you go one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and then the recitation to the end. And then after that, I stand up for, inshallah, for the khutbah. And that khutbah, I don't know, sunshine, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But my intent is not to burden you. Inshallah, we pray that it will benefit all of us in terms of that. So with Allah's help, we can get through that in a way that benefits us all in that sense. So what we do, there's no adhan, there's no iqamah. The call is just staqim, or just stand up for the prayer now. Stand up for the prayer now. In the latest directions with regard to the county and the quote unquote, we prefer physical distancing, not social distancing. That's language, but the 6 feet distancing is not a part of the most current establishing. So for as far as your own level of concern, you have to address that. But we're not ordering that there be this 6 feet of the physical separation. Well, I'm going to keep my shoes on here. So, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه لا يعلم جهر ما يخفى ونيسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت ذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لفي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وعز جنده وعزم الأحزاب وحده لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وعلى أنصار سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا محمد وعلى ذريات سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته وعيد مبارك الحمد لله رب العالمين أما بعد إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين صدق الله العظيم This is the 120th ayah of Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16. And a translation of it is, Abraham was indeed a model. And also can be read, and perhaps should be read, as is a model. Is a model devoutly obedient to Allah and true in faith, Hanifa, nothing mixed up, nothing added to Abraham's way of life. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And he was not among those who associate partners with Allah. Let me walk you through my mental process that brings me right here to this moment, right now. Thinking about the Eid al-Adha, thinking about the Hajj, thinking about all that it means, all that it really is. I think that that's what Allah is telling me. Because I had it in my pocket. And when I was finishing the salat, I started blowing down there. I said, well, maybe God is telling you, hey, let the notes go. Don't go with the notes. And now it's blown off the rack. I think we have to learn how to read the signs of God. So it's going to be what it's going to be. Because very early on yesterday, for example, when I began to prepare, I said, look, Fahim, I'm talking to me, right? So you got to keep it a buck. Anybody know what it means to keep it a buck? Most of you post baby boomers and pre baby boomers, you don't know. Keep it a buck. Keep it a buck means keep it just raw, true, you know, unembellished. It is what it is. Call it like it is. It doesn't mean, you know, being vulgar or cavalier or anything like that. It simply means just tell the truth about who we are, where we are, and what the nature of our situation is. Actually is. When I say our situation, I'm talking about Muslims and Muslims as families in America. One of the things when I think about Ibrahim, we're pretty certain, and our goal is not to be different. Our goal is to be true and beneficial. But everywhere in the world where these khutbahs are being delivered, inevitably, the conversation is going to be about what the ritual day actually is respective of, and that is the sacrifice of Abraham, as it's generally called, the sacrifice of Abraham. Abraham and Ismail and the Quran, that story that tells us about when Abraham saw in a dream that he should sacrifice Ismail, and then he asked Ismail, and what should But what do you say I should do? He said, do what Allah has ordered for you to do. The rest of the story is that when Abraham was ready to sacrifice Ismail according to the vision that he had at that time, then Allah said, you have already fulfilled the vision, and Ismail was replaced with a ram, different takes in different parts of the story. And so the realization, the reality of what Abraham was called upon to do is always brought up. And then and properly so. Then when we think about Abraham again, and other sacrifices that he was called to make, one is also Hajar, his wife. May Allah be pleased with her, before Ismail could walk or crawl, et cetera, as an infant, the Safar and Marwa, the running back and forth of Safar and Marwa, between Safar and Marwa of the Hajj, is memorial of her struggle to find sustenance for Ismail, a babe in arms. And of course, Zamzam is the product of that. When you think about, in thinking about what that situation was, without going through the whole story, Abraham was again told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take her and her son out into a desolate area and then leave them there. Right. And then as he was leaving them, and Hajar she called out, you know, Abraham, where are you going? He kept walking, no answer. Abraham, where are you going? He kept walking, no answer. And then she asked him, is this what Allah has ordered for you to do? And he acknowledged that, and she said, go. Everything will be well if this is Allah's intent. But then she still had to deal with the fact that if this child does not get sustenance, at least water, he's going to die. He's going to die. And so the struggle that she had to exert in looking out for her child was, it's memorialized, it's sacred, that is the epitome. People often confuse my daughter, they confuse Yolanda with Camila. Because Camila did, in some dramatic presentation, as minimum 25 years ago. But it was so striking, the hearts and the spirits of the women that were there. They usually turn around when they see Yolanda and say, yeah, I remember when you did that run, that Saeed for Safar Marwa of Hajar. No, actually Yolanda was, I believe, Maryam when they did this series of women, and it was Camila that actually did the Hajar. But the point is, it was so profound in its impact, psyche and the souls of the women particularly. It's like it just has lasting. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us, memorialized it in the Hajj and, of course, in Scripture. So I don't have the words to really say how supremely, I don't know, supremely, sacredly, divinely important what she had to do, that so much so that for all of those years, the Hajj continues, and that is a central part of the Hajj. So here are two situations. So it's about sacrifice, right? It's sacrifice. Abraham had to make a sacrifice. Hajar had to make a sacrifice. Ishmael had to be willing to be sacrificed. So when you look at the grammar of that situation, a sentence comes out that says, sacrifice for the love of God. That sentence. Sacrifice for the love of God. Who has to sacrifice? Everybody. Abraham had to sacrifice. Hajar had to sacrifice. Ishmael had to sacrifice. Don't minimize. Sacrifice is an English word that we know. You got to make sacrifices. You know, sacrifices, you know, it's all about. But it becomes a cliche, an empty statement. But if we engage that ritual and those stories for what and from where they come, this is the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of the world. Our Creator has memorialized those very significant moments for all time. There's not going to be there's not a sell by date for Hajj. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, okay, in the year 30,030, there will be no more Hajj. No. Hajj is forever. That's a T-shirt for you. That's a T-shirt. Hajj is forever. So I want us to mashallah, I have to do that. I hate to put you on blast, my brother, El-Hajji, since we're talking about Hajj, but El-Hajji. And I'm looking at Abdullah over here. And I'm looking at Fatima out there. And I'm looking at Qasim right there. He has a story. I won't try to tell the whole story, but I'm honored by the fact that El-Hajji mentioned to me, and if I say anything incorrect, stop me and say, no, it was this, it was that, okay? You're authorized, okay? But I don't think, who was not born? I know Qasim was not born at that time. None of them are born. Seriously? You had none of these three children here. Okay. Well, that kind of seals it for me. Because it was at an Eid al-Adha, khutbah, across the street, and he's just, I don't know if he just coming to the country, just come to the masjid, whatever it was. He's new. And the subject was child sacrifice, the khutbah, child sacrifice. And Al-Haji is from Nigeria, Ghana, from Nigeria. So he's from the land of Islam, okay? But somehow, a renewed commitment, energy for Al-Islam and practicing it and building family on it came, he says, in consequence of that spark. I don't even remember what the subject is, but we're looking at him and his children right now. Abdullah, the black belt, martial artist, graduate, recently graduated. Are you in junior college right now? He's in junior college right now. And many, I bought some of the products that he sells. Now it's so sharp that my wife is scared of the knife. Now, you know, those are some serious knives. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put it out there because I'm talking about what we need to do for our children more so. I tell him he has a spiel that he has to give in order to do his business. I say, look, I did the deal with him. And then I said, and if you learn how to do your spiel without any paperwork, I'll give you $500. You come to it, you do it, I'll give you that in terms of that. Now, I'm not going to say no more about his business. But the point is that Al-Haji, and we have this model in front of us of people. Well, let me go ahead. Listen, y'all, I know everybody have beloved people. Please, please, please forgive me. You should have said this about my child. You should have said, please. Don't do that to me, okay? Please. But I'm reading the paper that is right in front of me. I'm looking at Aisha. Oh, Fatima. Let's not leave Fatima, because Fatima is also a black belt. Are we not correct? Yes. I am a black belt. Yes. I am also taking classes both at my high school and at junior college, as we speak. Am I still correct? Okay. So we don't play. We don't play, okay? Qasim is evolving, alhamdulillah. So I think you just moved over from one grade to another. Where are you at now? You're first grade or fourth grader? You're a fourth grader. Oh, man, time flies. I can remember having you in my arms when they were at your naming ceremony, right? I know you don't remember that. But I am looking at Aisha. Aisha Boone and Issa, come on now. I mean, you really see a kind of, now, you know, I know she's not going to let this go to her head, even though she just got her BA or master's, just got her master's degree from El Bayan, okay? And Issa, they are inseparable. They are inseparable. What kind of sacrifices do you think that a single mother with a son, no less, it does make a difference, with a son, no less, cool, working, doing everything I do, and still, and he also, I don't know what the martial arts thing is coming from today, but Issa is also moving up on his belt level. What level belt you have, Issa? Come on now, you ain't gonna be able to hide behind your mom. We're gonna give you that lesson today too. He's a blue belt heading toward brown. Following, Ismail. Ismail got his black belt, alhamdulillah. And Jacob had his first martial arts lesson yesterday as well. And of course, I saw Abzi here. I know everybody has somebody, but there are people who they stand out in their performance, their character, their behavior. See Tahida in the back there, who also had a daughter who has, she recently finished her last level of education as it relates to being Dr. Saba Raed Akbar. I am seeing that, and there is Aliyah there, and her son also, and those families connected through marriage is really a blessing, but I know that they're sacrifices. This is what I'm trying to say. These victories come with sacrifices. And being by nature, being by choice, willing to make those kinds of sacrifices are those that we have to make in order to achieve the aims that we are achieving. I know that there are many of you. I can look around and I can stop at each one of you that I'm directly associated with, and I could tell something of your story, because I have been in this position for a lifetime, literally, I can say, for a lifetime. 40 years is the measure of a lifetime. And so basically I know our community like the back of our hand, and there are many, many great, wonderful stories that could be told and that should be told. I have to mention Ibrahim. The Shaheed family has been a critical part of the foundation of the strength and life of this community. My own particular administration with Amina, Latifa, and then, of course, all the boys that have come through that, and, of course, Swia and the contribution that she makes to that, living in Texas now with two or three. What she got? She got two, alhamdulillah, who are also there evolving. So please, those of you who I'm not mentioning, know that you're in my heart. You know, I'm the crying guy, right? But Allah is the one that gives laughter and tears. So, mashallah, if I boohoo, then mashallah, it is what it is. Because this is what I want us to understand. Why was Hajar being left out there under the order of God? Why was it such a trial? And Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, being called to sacrifice Ismail, why was it such a trial? Sound like the hood is waking up around here. We got all that. We got all that. I need to keep your beautiful face right in front of me so we can be straight. All right? All right. So, why? One way of seeing it, which is the way I want to share with you, God is telling us by asking Ibrahim to sacrifice his wife and the child when he took him out to the, quote, desolate place. And why would it be a trial? It's a trial because there must have been some kind of proximity, some kind of parity, some kind of nearness, some kind of equating. Come on, let me bring a little basketball analogy in here. Many of you know. Some people, the Warriors gone, I ain't been paying no attention. Okay, so, but the Bucks and the Suns are playing tonight. It's a useful analogy, right? And so you ask somebody, well, who you got? You got the Bucks or you got the Suns? Well, you know, the Suns got Suns and so-and-so, and if they're all on, then it's going to be cool. Well, Chris Paul, he deserves to get, he ought to get his this year. This should be the time. You know, but the Milwaukee, but, you know, Giannis, he's a good guy. He's a good man. He's a player, but he ain't, you know, he's not raw dog. He's a good person. So you kind of wind up with this kind of, it's like, the point is that they are very comparable challengers, which it could go left or right depending on who's on or who's off, right? So if y'all didn't know that, you got the benefit of basketball now since I hooked on to it, alhamdulillah. So you can use it tonight. It's 5 o'clock. But what it says and what I'm saying right now, it's actually an invitation to us. Love your wife and love your children
to a level where you have to be sure you're not loving them as much as you're loving God. Maybe I need to say that again. It is said, why would it be a trial? And let me go back to a bumper sticker, to a bumper sticker. So a bumper sticker is a quote-unquote redneck bumper sticker. Some of y'all know about what redneck is, right? It says, my wife, yeah. The dog, maybe. My gun, never. You see that order of values there? It says, like, wife, you can take her. I'm done. My dog, but my gun? wait, Charles Heston, he said, from my dead cold hands or something. He said, the only way you're going to get my gun is out of my dead cold hands. Okay, put that in the context of the love of your wife and the love of God. Abraham must have loved his wife and his children, his child, at such a level that Allah is saying, I'm going to try you. Will you sacrifice them for me? وَاللَّهُ عَلَّمُ بِزَيْتِ الصُّدُورِ, right? And Allah knows the possessions of the heart. And Allah knows the properties of the heart. And Allah knows what's in your heart, even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to hide what he knew was coming with regard to Zayd and Zaynab, rahimahumullah, that he was going, Allah was going to divorce Zaynab ibn Jahsh, Zaynab from Zayd and marry her to Muhammad. And Muhammad felt he had that sense, but he wanted to keep them together to show that classes, we can go across classes, et cetera. A slave can be married to the best. That's a good idea, Muhammad. That's not Allah's plan. And then Allah told Muhammad, why did you hide in your heart what you knew that? In Quran, why did you hide in your heart? You knew what was going to happen. Why? I'm only saying that to point out that Allah knows what's in our hearts. And Allah knew how much Ibrahim loved his wife and his child. And Allah is saying, sacrifice them for the love of me. I opened with the reading, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatin. Abraham was an ummah, qanitan lillah, completely devotional, completely devoted to Allah, hanifa, without mixing in anything to his way of life, walam yakun min al-mushrikeen, and he was not among the unbelievers or the associates. So what is it saying to us? Abraham was an ummah. We are seeking to build, we are obligated to build ummah. Brothers, since I'm on that side of the picture right now, you can't do it without loving your wife. You can't do it without loving your wife. You can't do it without loving your wife. Now, look at this. I tucked it away. I can bring it out now. Listen to this. Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen. Anas ibn Malik reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Allah provides with a righteous wife, Allah has assisted him in half of his religion. Let him fear Allah regarding the second half. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, reporting from the Prophet, the world is provision, mad'un. The world is provision. And the best provision in the world is a righteous woman. If Abraham is a model and the sacrifice of his wife and the child in the act of leaving them out in a desolate place, then he's modeling for us how we're supposed to be. If we're supposed to be like Abraham, then a part of being like Abraham is loving your wife the way Abraham loved his wife. Just beneath your love of God. Do you hear me? Just beneath your love of God. I'm not asking you to applaud. I'm just, that's my whatever. When I get to this space of mind and heart, I do stuff like that. Come on now. You know, Belalia. If you don't, let me introduce you. Listen. Usually we hear that phrase. It says, when a man marries, he completes half of his religion, so let him have regard for God for the other half. No, no. The report says, whoever Allah helps, no, let me say it again. Says, whoever Allah provides with a righteous wife. A righteous woman is a provision, which is what the other hadith says. The world is provisions, but the best of provisions is a righteous woman. We as men, we need to be seeking Allah's blessing of a righteous woman. We as men need to be seeking the blessing, making dua to Allah. Blesses us with a righteous woman. If you have one right now, and if she's not so righteous, then still make dua for her to be more righteous. If you don't have one, make dua to Allah that he blesses you with one that is righteous. But we live in a world right now where righteous women is not the hot market. You want the real housewives of blah, 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 and beyond the pole and all that. I know y'all don't watch none of that. I'm sure you don't watch none of that stuff. P-Valley, I know y'all don't watch that. Power Book 3, y'all don't watch none of that. That relationship of a righteous woman is a primary thing that Abraham models for us, right? And as I thought about this, as I thought about mentioning this, I know that there's a lot of qualifications to be added to all of this. There's a lot of qualifications to be added to all of this, but I'm not going to try to qualify all of it. Another report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that vein, Thawban reported that when the verse was revealed, and those the verse says that is 9:34. That is Surah 9 is, I think it's entitled the immunity, inshallah, I'm not sure. 9:34. Some of the companions said, what the verse said, I'm not moving, and those who hoard gold and silver. Some of the companions, on hearing that revelation, they said, this was revealed about gold and silver. If only it had been revealed so that we would know which wealth is the best to take. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the best wealth is a tongue that remembers Allah, a grateful heart, and a believing wife to help him in his faith. In another narration, the Prophet said, peace be upon him, and a believing wife to help one of you in the matters of the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, the significance of a righteous wife, the significance of a righteous woman is one of the models that Prophet Muhammad models for us. There are some men, they're not even looking for a wife. They're not even looking. They're not praying for a wife. They're not looking for a wife. And it is an admonition. I have to bring this admonition to you, that the wives that those of us who do have wives, we sometimes and too often, we don't elevate our love for them by our model to the level of sacredness that they should be held on. And mashallah, mashallah, I'm listening inside my own head right now and say, well, you just can't elaborate on all of it. So I'll say this way. Let me go ahead and say this. Let me tell you something tacitly that you may feel right now. I want you to listen. This is a different kind of moment right here. This is a different kind of moment. Those of you who are on my intuitive page and you understand how he's reading something about this and reading something about that. There are enough of you around here who know how to understand me this way. See, there's certain truth that certain cultures, they don't want you talking like this. They don't want you talking like this. And we're not going to listen to it. Because we got ours in check. Y'all don't have yours in check. And if I keep exposing mine to y'all, they're going to be just as messed up as y'all. That's their opinion. They may be just as strong as ours. Talk about sacrifices. Talk to me about American Belalian women and still I rise. I'm almost done. I hope you can be patient with me because that was also one of the things that I was concerned. I'm looking at my mic here. I've been talking to you for a little more than 30 minutes. I hope it's not too much for you. So there's a lot, there's so much more to be said about that. So, yes, my sisters, there are moments when we as husbands, we don't tell you, you're really annoying me right now. There's moments where we don't say, it's like, here she go again, man, she on that right there. But many times, if we're smart, we don't say nothing. We just ride along with it. However, those who are smart enough, I'm looking at my man Tasty over there. He's got 48 years of marriage. 48? 49. 49, excuse me. Cutting you short a year. 49. Allahu Akbar. It's like this. There's a lot of choices, a lot of patience in order to get to 49 years, in order to get to 4 years, but in order to get to 49 years, for sure. So I'm saying, brothers, the sacredness of that woman, we have to elevate it. I'm saying that the model of Abraham is saying you have to love her just under your love of God. That's what I'm saying the story says to us. We men make it hard sometimes for a woman to live out the life that Allah created us for, created her for, and vice versa. And when God talks about fighting, he says, it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. Marriage is not easy. Marriage is not easy by any stretch. But marriage is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as a way for building ummah. See, in order to get there, it takes that. But it's not easy. So the sacrifice that's required now, when I'm speaking, I'm bringing sacrifice into the relationship itself. You have to be willing to continue to make those sacrifices in the name of Allah. If you're not married, you have to add to the important scale of things for your life. I need to get married. Sisters, I know it's not an issue. From my own experience, it's not an issue. It's like, yeah, I'm ready to be married. Where the brothers? They're ready to step up. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm not trying to detail. You might not believe this, but I'm not trying to detail it. But the point is, so often sisters are stepping up so hard and moving so fast and doing so much. Unfortunately, men can't keep up and qualify. And the idea of balancing that lack of qualification with the mutual need, I know that that's a complex nature of the situation that we're in. And I'm saying, I'm acknowledging the complexity of the situation, but I'm also putting above that, I'm putting in connection with that, the fact that Allah is the one to help to make that happen. And I go to the picture of Moses in the Quran. Moses in the Quran, when the women couldn't water their animals, and then Moses came. And you go ahead and read the rest of the story. The moral of the story is that you will get what you need, whether it be husband, wife, job, residence. You'll get that when you help others get what they want. But Moses' situation was that all he had to do was help somebody that needed him, and then Allah brought the wife for him, the job, the residence, et cetera. So there's a way that we have to step up on that. And I'm praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can bring this in and come to some conclusion. But I'm saying, respecting the fact that there are challenges in this culture, challenges in the society, both from a social, cultural, economic perspective, that makes marriage difficult to create, to sustain. This is a part of the evil of this culture. We ain't brought rainbow up except by that statement right there, and that ought to be enough. Another verse called the alphabet community. So we ain't, you know what I'm saying? We haven't even talked about that impact. Let that be. So I'm saying, men, if you're not married, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you get married. Wallahi. 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 If you're not married, seek Allah to help. If you got an attitude about marriage that is one where, I can take it. A lot of women out there. When I'm ready, I'll do it. Come on, woman, come on. Stop it. That's not Abrahamic. There are so many righteous, deserving women that would be a reward in your life. And they're out there waiting for the husband to come be what Allah created them to be. Wallahi, 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 don't play with God, man. I'm serious. God has ordered marriage for us. The prophet said, whoever doesn't marry has nothing to do with me. So if you're not hearing God and the prophet in relationship to this marriage thing, let me give you a hadith that might help. There was a boy, the prophet was eating with the boy. And, you know, the Muslims, of course, especially at his time, you eat with your hands, right? And you clean yourself after going to the toilet with your left hand and not with your right hand. And so you're supposed to eat with your right hand. So as a boy, they were sitting there and he kept reaching with his left hand, like he's going to eat with the left hand. Man, fool, don't put your hand in here with the left hand. And then the prophet, then he said, oh, I'm not able. And the prophet said, may Allah make it so. And so he was cursed to only be able to move his left. How many people do you think want to eat with him? What I'm saying is, if God has ordered something for you and you be passive or rationalize not being what Allah ordered you to be, Allah will curse you to be locked in to that situation. And you may be thinking that it's your choice, but it's your curse because you can't, because you don't have the right attitude. You haven't placed the right value on this sacred situation. Don't do that. Allah has to help us do that. And we have to help each other do that. Sisters, I'm going to say this to you. How did Khadija get to marry Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know the story that he was an employee. Big signal in that. But then she inquired about him. What about so-and-so? How come he ain't married? So she sent her scouts out. Go check him out for me. Come on, sisters. You need to be checking some folks out for your sisters that are not married. Somebody try to, come on, if y'all allow me to use this language, you can fire me after I finish. But somebody tries to, quote, unquote, get at you. Is that him again trying to get at me? He ain't my type. But he'd be real good for sister so-and-so. Go check him out for sister so-and-so. I'm going to give some one more little piece of practical advice on that, Eric. Sisters, I'm looking at you. I know y'all can throw down. I know y'all can burn. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You can put a plate together. What if we had at some, not we, y'all, whoever, y'all grown. It don't have to be at the masjid. I say it shouldn't be at the masjid, what I'm talking about. So they got Airbnb of all form, frame, fashion, style, setups that you want. You can get Airbnb for anything, mansions, you know, beach houses, whatever. If you had a pop-up restaurant, dinner, social event at an Airbnb scenario, you decide the qualification, who can be invited, who can come, blah, blah, blah. And what if, I'm just talking, what if, sister, you know you got a dessert that people will kill for. You be the one to make that dessert. Another sister does the vegetable. She got a vegetable. It's like, you taste this the last time, you will not eat this vegetable unless they do it. And all the rest of that, right? Well, so it don't have to be cooking. I'm sorry if it don't feel like I'm stereotyping, but I'm just saying that, you know, that skill is there. Aesthetically, you can set the situation up, et cetera. So men are invited, women are invited, et cetera. You can deal with all your halal, haram stuff. Go ahead and deal with that, too, however way you need to deal with it. There ain't going to be no hanky-panky, so you need to have married couples there, what have you, in order to be the general chaperones, et cetera. But grown folks know what they're supposed to do and not supposed to do. But what if that periodically happened, like every 2 months, every quarter? So, you know, maybe, you know, you play whatever kind of games, whatever, charades, whatever you play, whatever game you play. You know, social situations where it creates opportunities for men to get to know women and women to get to know men. Part of the big problem of the wrong-headed way of separating men and women is the consequence that we're seeing, that connections are not being made. Right? And forgive me, Fatima, forgive me, Abdullah, but you are key folk. Who's he going to marry? Who's Abdullah going to marry? Here's a man with a black belt, business-oriented, going to school, and he's well past puberty. This man needs a wife. But who he going to marry? Fatima, yeah, you knew you were coming next. Fatima, she's grown up and blossomed, advancing. She needs a husband. Who's she going to marry?
And you already know. I'm not going to go there. Okay.
So, this is Ummah building. Inna Ibrahim kana Ummah. Without answering these questions, without addressing what I'm talking about, Ummah is just a joke. Ummah is just something we say. It's just a cliche. Where is the Ummah project? I mean, really? Really? Because the Ummah project includes marriage. And I know, my sisters, is that Khadija didn't wait for somebody to step to her and say, will you marry me? Khadija had her eyes open saying, okay, go check that out for me. She was a businesswoman. So, sister, and I know some of you know, you already know how to do this. I'm telling you, if you don't consciously feel like you had a license, I'm telling you, Allah has given you the license in the model of Prophet Muhammad and Khadija. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even if you just took it from the perspective, go into business, and the business engages something that maybe a man may be able to also help you in that business. Maybe if he's qualified to be an employee, he might be qualified to be something else. But if he ain't qualified even to be an employee, I don't want to mess with anybody. We'll keep getting the benefit of him as an employee, but all the rest of that has to stay somewhere else. Let's move on to the children and finish. We have to make, women already know this. We have to make the appropriate sacrifices for our children. Now, the appropriateness that I want to distinguish is this. I'm not talking about make sure they have food on the table, make sure they have clothes on their back, make sure they have a roof over their head. That's fundamental. You got to do that anyway. You can't even talk about that as sacrifice. Well, I'm sacrificing to make sure you have some food. I'm sacrificing to make sure you have a roof over there. I'm sacrificing. No, that ain't sacrifice. That's responsibility. That's what you just got to do that, period. That's standard. That's level one. The sacrifice that we want to speak of in relationship to our children, what are we doing to protect our vulnerable children, that population, from the torrent, the hurricane of corruption that is getting at them and changing them on the inside in ways that we haven't heard of yet? Because we are not competing. Listen to this. That's what I'm saying. We're not competing with those forces that are trying to destroy them in their nature. I just got calling, like I said, I was going to keep it a buck. Listen, Will Smith's children. You want your children to be like Will Smith's children? Dwayne Wade's children. You want your children to be like that? Magic Johnson's children. You want your children to be like Magic Johnson's children? And all the other models on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and whatever else. Lil Nas, you want your child to be like Lil Nas? Well, Muslims, what the hell are you doing to push back flood? That tsunami of cultural toxins and poison, it's like an ocean of toxic waste headed for our group of children. And we are not getting on any kind of vehicles that can fly above it, or we're not moving on some vehicles that can move us away from it, or putting a protective shield around them that could protect them from it. What are we doing? So, brother and sister, inna Ibrahim kana, he was an ummah. It should be telling us, what kind of sacrifices are you making in order to protect your wife, your family, in order to protect your children from the death that this culture offers them? And they get ashamed and embarrassed of their Islam, of you, and of their community, because it's constantly being compared to what the world makes them think is such a wonderful thing. And we're not offering an alternative that respects the appetite that's being fed or appealed to out there, but also respects and holds to the value. See what I'm saying? You have to be able to strike that balance. Like, haram, 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 haram. How's that working? You'd be surprised in the harami families how much of that other stuff. I'm just going to leave it like that. How much of that other stuff is all up in there. But we ain't listening to no music, though, at least not when mom and papa's around. But if you can get that playlist when they're not around. So, brothers and sisters, I hope you're receiving what I'm saying with the intention that I'm giving it, because we have to ask ourselves, how much are we really doing? Let me deal with this being old thing. Let's deal with that real quick. I keep saying I'm almost done, and it's true. I am almost done. Let's deal with this old thing right here, okay? Come on. Let's just deal with it. Keep it a buck, right? I mean, I was looking in the mirror this morning. The bathroom light was on, right? So I got this nice, silver fox, great thing going on here, right? But then the light was hitting my head right here. And see, my barber is Shamari. He's not here today. Y'all know Shamari. He's my barber. It's like, I go to him, round figures, every 2 weeks, something like that. He said, hey, look, don't touch the top. Just don't touch it. Whatever. Do all this. But don't take, because we know that once that's gone, there is no coming back. What is it? Don't call it a comeback, because it ain't coming back. So it's like, hey, you know what? So my goal has been for X number of years, just hold on. I had my glory Afro years. I got pictures to prove it. Boom, pow, pow. That was yesterday. So the light hit my head in the bathroom this morning, and it was just shining. Skin, the skin was shining. Man, that's balls. Now, why is that a significant point? Young people, my beautiful, beautiful young people, I'm going to make you anybody under 40. You, my beautiful young people. You're under 40, I'm talking to you. There's a saying that says, history repeats itself because the passions of men never change. History repeats itself because the passions of men never change. That's just, I'm not just talking about men, biological males. Just that human being. We keep going through the same thing generation after generation after generation. And if one generation doesn't learn the lesson from the previous generation, they're going to go through the same thing. See, so there are I've been in this position, for example, as the imam here, next year it will be like 40 years. 39 now. Of course, as a part of the old Nation of Islam, originally my entry date was January 1, 1972. So that's almost 50 years, right? So that means, and Zarina, I'm looking at Zarina, she, when I first, Yolanda and I, when we first became Muslim, she was our landlord. And she had already been doing that FOI-MGT thing before we showed up. So I think she's been here a minute too, right? So the point is that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah has blessed me. Not, this is not like so recent. I'm just saying I got appreciation for it even more so. Do you know it's an honor to get old? It is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get old. It's an honor. You know what this white is? That's light. That white, that's light. It used to be dark. Now it's light. All around. Allah Akbar. And it's still a little dark in there. So I'm still learning. But the mistake, young people, that you make is one of the lies that this world tells you. Oh, they old. They don't know nothing. Oh, they old. They don't know what's happening. Oh, they old. They ain't with what's up. They can't even program a VCR. I got to use that old joke on that. They don't even know how to program it. VCR is gone now. They don't even know what an MP3 is. And you got these commercials. Geico. We can't stop you from growing up to be like your parents, but we can give you better premiums on your insurance. Another little snack bar thing. The mommy, the daughter and the daddy, they're out there. You know you can turn those in now and recycle them for them to be something else. Yeah, maybe I can be a flying airplane, or maybe I can do this. Or maybe a park bench, daddy said. Maybe a park bench. Dad, you got to think bigger. And this is all a part of the BART. Well, no, actually it was before. It was Mad Magazine, really the genesis of that attitude. Bart Simpson was the TV version of the last blow to paying attention to parents. The whole culture says, F the parents. They're dumb. They're stupid. They don't know. They're not with it. They're behind the times. We need to come up with our own. So you don't get the benefit of the light. The fruit on the trees of old men and old women. Sisters, any of your daughters and any of the girls that you know, do you think they can benefit from some of the earliest lessons you got when you were a teenager, if not younger? About how to take care of yourself. I'm talking about hygiene, how to take care of your environment, cleanliness, how to prepare, how to take a potato and make it work for a whole month, switching up the menu on a potato. Potato pancakes on Sunday, French fries on Monday, hash browns on Tuesday, what else? Mashed potatoes on Wednesday. But you got through, didn't you? My mama? Man, I'll leave that alone. Let's go with this. Understand this. There are some ideas. Wallahi, this is no boast on the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi, using that frame. This is no boast, what I'm saying. This is no boast. There are some ideas that I come to understand last week, whose genesis was 30 years ago. Something that I started thinking about 30 years ago. didn't come to fully understand until last week. And I can give that gem, I can throw it out, and some people, unfortunately, most young people do it much more easily. What's that old spooky stuff, whatever you want to call it, and just throw it in the gutter like, and it's an idea which if you could grasp it, you would be 30 years ahead of your peers. See, that's what young people, that's what you lose. When you look at the gray head and you look at the obesity and you look at the wrinkles and you say, I ain't got nothing to tell me. And they are a treasure inviting you to open me up. And so you spend your life, 10 years, 15 years, trying to figure something out, which if you had paid attention in that one conversation, it would have saved you 15 years of stress and failure. And I'm saying that to say, young people, you need to have more respect for old people. I'm going to put it just raw like that. When you see an old person, you should say, I wonder what I could learn from them. They've lived a long life. Things have happened in their life that I can learn from and benefit from. You should walk among old people like walking in a fruit orchard. Pick some peaches, pick some apples, pick some walnuts or whatever you saw coming, huh? We're almost done. In any case, what do we need to do? Just trying to help. I understand. But that's, you know, we're reading signs from God anyway, so we'll take that too. So I don't need to put that on right now. So young people, deepen your respect for, obviously, first your parents. Deepen your respect for them. Sometimes you don't feel like listening to us. I understand. But see, that's also a part of what growth, maturity, and patience call for. So with Allah's help, make dua for me that I can finish in these next 5 minutes. So I'm just trying to summarize what I think I've said. Husbands, men who are not married, get married. Men who are married, elevate your level of love for your wife to a very high level. Husbands, wives, recognize we just have to learn how to practice patience with each other. I know we sometimes think we're already doing, been doing. Listen, it never stops. You have to be patient. Although I don't like that, I shouldn't use the word patient. You have to have sabr all the way to the end. Husbands, elevate your love and honor and respect for your wife. Study her as Allah and the Messenger, peace be upon him, reveals her, meaning that what has Allah and what has the Prophet told you about the woman? Study the woman and then apply it to your wife. Also, women, Allah has favored you to be close to your nature. Allah has favored you with a nature that won't let you stray from your origin. You are tied the very cosmos. I'm talking, you are a universe. Men can be disconnected in a way that women can't be disconnected. It's very important. So Allah has favored you with that. That's why most of the direction in the Quran is towards men and not towards women. Most of the direction in the Quran is towards men, not towards women, because women are closer to their nature than men from a sociological, cultural point of view. So, sister, you also should have it in mind, just understanding man, and yes, man in general as intended by Allah, but then also study and understand your man as a product culture such as it was. Pharaoh, he killed your men and kept your women alive. The pharaonic concept is very much at work as relates to Belalians. But I'm saying, sister, therefore, that means that it does call for more sabr on your part and more insight on your part with respect to that condition. And when it comes to our children, you might not want to hear this, but since this is a sacred moment in time, I can't be overly concerned about that. I have to take this moment to say this.
You ought to hear someone.
Those of you, Nation of Islam, ex-Nation of Islam, FOI, MGT, you and I are a special generation. We come from a very special situation. However, you're going to have to respect the fact, well, you do it if you want, your choice, but I say you have to. That transition from the Nation of Islam to Al-Islam, that's 75. I'm going to wind it up to 80 right now. We can go as far as 85. If you were married during that period of time, and I'm saying young people, if you were born during that period of time, and those of us who have children that were born during our transition and who had to grow up under us as their parents, you're going to have to respect the fact that some of them have and had mental problems. The socialization process for our generation, born from us as former Nation of Islam and then becoming Muslims in that transition, see, all they were young people. They were just children. And whatever the environment was doing to them as clay in that situation, it was doing what it was doing to them. And most of us, I'm talking about as the parents, we don't even have the wherewithal to get into the mind space of those children. You'd have to talk to a child who you can still talk to in that situation and ask them, what was it like to be the child of a parent who was once in the Nation of Islam and who came out of the Nation of Islam? And then they came into Al-Islam, and you were there, you were 6 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, in that transition time. What was on your mind? I don't know who's done that or if that has been done, but I've seen enough products of that period of time and that situation to say that there's an acknowledgement that needs to be had by us who are a part of that transition, that there were some very important windows that didn't get addressed before they closed. There was some very wet clay upon which some very harmful impressions were made, and nobody formally acknowledged or addressed or even knew how in a formal way to help them in their moment. And some of them didn't even know they needed help, and they didn't know how to ask for help. And it doesn't matter if that we were their parents, you were the main one not to be asked for help because you might have been the key source of the problem. I said I was going to keep it a book. Okay, all it boils down to what, brothers and sisters? We have to be Muslim, seek to build ummah, acknowledge and not deny, stop being in denial about the things that we are not doing. We don't have to overly apologize for what we didn't do. Allah is in charge of everything. Most of we did the best we could with what we had to work with what we understood. But now we should be, and we are. We're older and wiser. Comes with age. Some of us, you still got resources. Some of y'all, you know that if we could see your bank account, it's like you'd be embarrassed because, like, yeah, well, no, I got that much. So a part of growing old is also you stack a little bit. I know you stack a little, but now you also have to bring those resources to bear in the interest of those children that are not, now we're talking sacrifice, in the interest of those children who are now in the same situation as those transitional children, but now, since we know now what we didn't know then, let's don't make the mistake now with this generation. It may be my grandchildren. Don't make the mistake for our grandchildren and our young children that had missed the windows that we couldn't address and didn't address then. Let's do that now. So every opportunity we have for responding to those needs, Hajar was running. We think about it as water, but what she represents is someone, I need to give my child what they need or they're going to die. Did you hear that? I need to give my child or my grandchild what they need or they're going to die. Die as what? As Muslims? Die as having respect for that thing that could give them life. So I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your tolerance with my long words today. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all benefit from it. And we say, Allah, forgive us our shortcomings and our errors. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar kabira. Walhamdulillahi kathira. Wa subhanallahi bukhratan wa asila. La ilaha illa Allah wahda. Sadaqa wa'ada. Wa nasra abda. وأز جنده وأزم الأحزاب وهدى لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وعلى أنصار سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا محمد وعلى ذريات سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اسمك الفاتحة عن يونسين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. الحمد لله. عيد مبارك. الحمد لله. I want to recognize Imam Al-Amin. الحمد لله. أهلاً. عيد مبارك. الحمد لله. Yes sir. So the festivities are going to be formally speaking, 12 o'clock. So men, check in with Ibrahim for as far as any kind of setup that is needed. And we will, food is going to be served. There's going to be activities and et cetera for the children, particularly when that comes through. And
What am I missing? There seems to be one thing that I'm missing. Alhamdulillah. Is Yolanda Shuaib in there? All right. It's going to take about an hour to set up, so we're going to break this area down under the direction of the men's group, and so we just make that happen and save some festivities, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So you can help roll up those rugs for sure. That's the simplest, immediate task. Hey, Mubarak, let me get off this hot mic right now. You got an announcement for me to make? Okay, hold up. We have some instructional. Hold up. Go ahead.
Assalamualaikum.
Wrong one. Too many wires. Go ahead.
Assalamualaikum. Everyone who is staying for lunch, see me, you get a red ticket, okay? Inshallah.
All right, the ticket, that's the food ticket, that's the lunch ticket. No ticket, no foodie. All right. Assalamualaikum. Let me close. Assalamualaikum, blocked up.